Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
Let's see, I'll just do my check mark here. So Pastor Claude said this, and Pastor Gary said that. Pastor Jay said that. So that's just awesome how that works, isn't it? In there, yes, yes. But I mean, it's a message. It truly is a message, and it's coming out, and it's life. And so when we hear it the second time in there, that's just more and more and more life that we have in this. Grab your Bibles and move. Go. Let's go over. We'll begin on Luke, in Luke chapter 1, and Luke 1, verse 45. And so just go on over to Luke chapter 1. And I'm not going to be preaching a Christmas message this morning, but although this is in that section that is there. So Luke chapter 1, come on, Rod, there we go. Okay, pages are sticking together. Luke 1 and 45, and there. And so that would be, Lord help. Okay, now we got it. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. I believe in the next month, I really believe that you're going to hear a lot of vision over the next month and over the next little while. How many of you know that in our church we believe in raising up mighty ones? Everyone understands that, and you've heard that phrase before. And that's not to say we understand fully that in Christ we understand fully, but you know what? I am looking to get stronger this year. Are you? And I don't, you know, I'm not looking at the fact of my own strength. I know that in Christ, all of these things will be accomplished. But I am looking to be stronger and more, if I would say it this way, maybe some of you might be more comfortable with saying, I want to look more like Jesus this year. Are you with me? And see, that is what this process of becoming a mighty one, because our world needs change. Anybody with me? Our world needs change that stays. Have you ever noticed that, yes, it's hard to change, and it seems like, and I'm sure you've heard this phrase many times, sometimes the older we get, the harder it is to change some things. But I find that change can come fast, but it's actually harder to keep change. Have you ever noticed that? In this, that it's you can radically change something, but to keep that change and then build on that change. And I think, I really believe in my heart, this is where we're going. This is what God is doing in 2020. I'm going to talk about a few different things. I have a little bit of a smorgasbord or a potluck, if you'd say, and whatnot, of some things here to just share with you. But it's something upon my heart right now that I don't do this well unless I'm transparent, unless I can just be who I am. If I try to be someone else, I think this is a lesson for all of us. If we try to be someone else, well, then we're going to fail because you're not that person. You need to be who you are in this. Now, that doesn't mean we don't need to change, because my character, my delivery, whatever it might be, my sense of, I've told you this many, many times for myself, my face, okay, in this, my face naturally at peace is like this. This is Happy Rod. This is dancing and shouting and jumping Rod. Okay, in there. But it looks like this is crabby old man. Don't talk to him. Okay, in there. And there has to be taking a recognition that, so should I have to change the way that? No, okay, in that. I get that. But do I want to have encounters with people? Do I want to drive people towards me or drive them away from me? Which one? It's really quite simple in this. And so when God starts to talk to us, even about, let's say, our language in a year like it's coming up right now. You know, back in September, I talked about really that sense of what this whole year is going to look like. And it's about believing, and it's about speaking. It's about using our mouths to begin to see what God has in heaven for now to come down to earth, to see it actually happen before us. I think Pastor Jay hit it right on the head this morning when he talked about the fact of needing an infusion of hope in this. And I tell you, if you just take a second, just, it won't take you long. I promise it won't take you long. Just to stop when you're out to a store and look around And I can guarantee you, you say you can guarantee me, I can guarantee me, you, me, guarantee, which one of us will be guaranteed, that you will find somebody in need of hope. There, you will not be able to go anywhere that you will not find somebody in need of hope. And guess what? That person that's in need of hope is not always looking like this. That person that needs radical hope sometimes can look like this. They're so excited and they're jumping around and you're thinking, I mean, they got it made. They got like, everything is perfect for them from what you're seeing. But there is a great need in the world right now for hope. There's great need in the world right now for a message that's different than what we're seeing. Do you know that this generation is, I will say it this way. I gotta be blunt in this. They're tired of hearing something and not seeing something. Right? They're tired of hearing. I know even when, so for example, I have a suit jacket on over there and it was just cold and it was there and I wear it and I like it and whatnot in there. But the truth is that sometimes people have this image of a suit and what it means, right? They have this sense of if that guy's got a suit on, this means this. And I remember growing up and seeing the fact that people would come to church and they would look really churchy. You know what I'm talking about? You could always tell, even walking around going, yep, they're from church. They're from church. We go to a restaurant and go, there's the church crowd coming in, okay, in there. And you could look over and see because that's what this was. But here's what it was. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just what that is in that moment. But here's where the bad part came into play. When I was growing up, I'd see sometimes and I'd hear the fact of those that were serving and they would say, oh, here comes the church crowd. It wasn't like, wow, I gotta work because the church crowd's coming in. It's gonna be so awesome. I'm gonna hear a word of life. I know. There was none of that, or there's gonna be a great tip. Come on now. But what would happen most of the time is, no, that's the church tables. Let's get them over there and let's put the youngest person over there because they're not going to give any tips and all. Come on. I'm serious. Now, some of you say, well, I'm not like that. That's fantastic. But in this, we are a representation. What we do, how we act, what we do in those moments. And you might be all grizzly and going, that service wasn't worth, 15%. Come on now. Seriously, you have a moment in that second to change somebody's life. You have a moment because here's what it is. I'm just trying to be practical in this, in there. But what would it look like if you had a prophetic word for someone and then you left a dollar tip on $100 bill? Come on, like you had a word for them, right? It's like spoke right into them. And then would it not bring confusion? Right? Would it not bring that? And I'm not telling you that we have to be like extreme, extravagant all the time in that. What I'm saying to you is that, and it's not about tips and it's not about that stuff. So don't get that in your head today in this. But I would say it this way, that as I walk everywhere I go, I'm a representation of Jesus. Every single thing I do, I'm a representation of Jesus. Every single thing I say, I'm a representation of Jesus. And I got to get to be more like him. Are you with me? There's got to be. And so in this year right now, I so feel like this transformation and this sense of what's going to happen. And I'm going to give you some things. We're going to put a couple of things up on the screens in a minute. Just hold them on just for a second. But I wanted you to go back to that verse. And it's verse 45. And this is speaking about Mary. And we know that this is all about in the time when Mary has heard from the angel, and that now this is something that they're speaking about her. Blessed is she who believed. When I read that this week, the Lord, have you ever had something where you read and then it's like, stop there? It's like, well, I have to do all my devotions. No, stop there. That's enough. Right there, I want you to contemplate on just that. Because it says there, blessed is she who believed. And I began to ask myself, and this is not a negative thing, so don't misunderstand this. But I began to ask myself, what do I not believe anymore? Where have I dropped that sense of my faith and my belief? And where through circumstances, anybody been through a hard year in 2019? Come on now, seriously. There's been some difficult things that happened in 2019. And some of you are like, man, this is an awesome year in 2019. Fantastic. Let's believe for another even greater year in 2020. Are you with me? Come on now, that's important in there. But not everybody has had that in there. But I find that sometimes those experiences or those situations or whatever it would be, it wants to do this. It wants to grind on you and grind on your faith. Maybe you're not like me in that. I have been walking with Jesus since I've been 5 years old. That's a long time now. Long time to walk with the Lord in that way. Now listen, this is not about bragging about me in this. I don't remember a time in my life where I have not walked with Jesus. My high school was, we did all kinds of crazy things in there, but I don't have a moment where I know I can say I walked away from the Lord and have served him all of those days. I have messed up. Do you know what I'm talking about? Those of you that have been in the church long enough, you know what I'm talking about in there. You have messed up in the midst of it, but never walked away from him. But in that journey, there are certain things that begin to happen in life that want to grind on my faith. Now, maybe you didn't go through this year, but I tell you, this is what I've been realizing, that I'm kind of like that. I love olives. Okay, when I went to Israel, oh my, I thought I knew olives until I went to Israel. Then you know how you have a salad bar? They have an olive bar. I'm serious. It's like, and it's just incredible olives. I never even tasted anything like that in my life until that moment. But I often refer to my life like an olive. And 2019 was a little bit of feeling like the olive was in the grinder and there was just sort of bits and pieces left over. But see, here's what I want us to be careful of. If I stare at the bits and pieces too long, I begin to believe I'm the bits and pieces. But on the bottom of that little jar, there's something new that was created. And that's who he says I am. The oil that was created, even in the midst of the crushing. When I think of Jesus, I think of the crushing that he went through. I think of the fact that I wrote it down just sort of, let me get it in here so that I say it correctly. In there. Suffering for Jesus didn't rob him of his purpose. Suffering for Jesus did not rob him of his presence with his Father. And suffering for Jesus did not rob him of his power. I want to be just like that. That the suffering and the things, come on now, if anybody has ever told you that becoming a Christian, everything's going to be perfect now, then they really weren't telling you the truth in this. Life has a way sometimes in the midst of that, and there is things to celebrate, and there's things to excite, and I don't want to be anything else because that's who I am. I really can't in that way inside of me in this. But when I begin to think of it, I want to make sure that what had happened in 2019 or any of the suffering from 2019 is not going to begin to affect. And I begin to just declare, and do you know that it's been a hard November and December to declare for me? Now you may be saying, come on now, you're a pastor, you're supposed to be able to do it easy and whatnot. It has been difficult in these last 2 months because see, here's the way I am. I'm unfortunately a feeler, okay? I wish in some ways that I wasn't. I may not look like a feeler, in other words, that just, you know, in that with the facial features, but I'm a feeler in this. And what happens, sometimes I let my feelings or how I feel tell me how the situation is. And I have had to learn over the years that feelings aren't bad, okay, in this, but they're trying to tell me something in this. And I've had to learn to walk. And this last year of, there's been some things that I thought were going to happen. Anybody else? I really thought something was going to happen. I had a plan. Woo! Anybody have a plan? I like plans. Okay, I had a plan. God and I were on the same plan page a little bit in there, in the midst of this. But in that, and I'm telling you, there was some difficult things that happened. And in that though, I am declaring, hear me now with my words, that suffering for Jesus, or suffering, whether or not it's for Jesus or in situations, is not going to divert me from my purpose. Come on now. What I went through or what you went through or what you're presently going through is not going to change your purpose. It is not going to change how often you get into the presence of God. Do you know that, again, maybe you've learned this lesson and you've learned that you don't, it's not about being good enough to get into the presence of God. Man, maybe you've learned that already, and if you haven't, hang on for a little while around and you'll learn those things here. It's not about being good enough. It's not about doing everything right to get into the presence of God. But how many of you feel that when you feel somewhat like you're failing, that the presence of God is not the place that you sometimes want to run into? Boy, I must be the only one here. Okay, I'll just turn around and preach this way. Okay, Rod, do you know? Hey, come on now. Just be real with me just for a minute, okay? Take off the mask in some ways. But when you're going through those things, some of you have learned, I am not going by my feelings and I'm going right into the presence of God. Intimacy is what gets us through and moves us to from getting through to thriving. It is intimacy with the presence of God. You know, Pastor Jay said it different times. When I first came here, that word freaked me out. And I mean, you're looking at me going, it shouldn't have. I can see some of your faces in this. But when I first came in here, we talked about intimacy a lot. Intimacy with the Lord. And I was like, do you mean to say, you know, you like to be with God in the presence? You realize I have grown up in a Pentecostal church. I have been in the presence of God all my life. I just didn't know that word in the midst of it. But you know what? I have learned that word. And in these years of being here now and walking through this, I can't live without his intimacy anymore. I can't live without that sense of knowing his fullness of his presence. I can't live without having the fact of knowing that his whisper is right in my ear, that every moment of every day I am continually communicating and continually walking and talking with him. Are you with me in this? I just don't want to live the other way. I don't want to live the fact of, I don't want to live with scheduled times with him. Do you understand me in that? Although I will schedule times because I'm not going to miss out. Do you understand? The discipline is there. That's the scheduling. But I am not going to live my life as one who is in his presence as a scheduled thing. So God, I've showed up at 4:45 and he loves it. You schedule some time with him at 4:45 every day. Boom. He's there. We're doing this. But it's something where every single second of every single moment of every single day is in that fullness of his presence. And for me, again, maybe you're not like this, but I've had to deal with all sometimes shame, guilt, all that garbage that comes along, right, with all of this. The sense of, and it's not even a massive failure. It's just feeling like, I'm not like, and this is this word that I can't stand. It is actually the devil's way to bring equality. Now listen to me when I say this. Comparison. I'm not like, and then say, name somebody. If someone asks someone to pray, but that person right there is standing there and they really know how to pray. Do you know that the Father loves to hear you just say his name? Like he can't wait for you just to talk. It's this sense of intimacy in the midst of this. And for me in 2020, I have wrestled with this. I've been wrestling a lot, haven't I? Okay, with this. I seem to say this a lot. Because sometimes what happens is God starts telling me something, and okay, I'm just gonna say it. The circumstances and situations don't line up with what I'm seeing. Come on now. But he's saying something. So when he told me what 2020 would be like, or what was coming in 2020 for Antioch, I went, that's really awesome. You should tell Pastor Jay. I would like a phone call sometime during the Christmas season, and Pastor Jay will say, Rod, I just got this burning thing inside of me, and it didn't come. I was waiting for you, brother. I was just like, you know, my phone was available, all those things. But he kept telling me this one thing over and over again. And here's the word that kept coming in my mind. The lie that I was believing is this. There was two part. First, they won't believe me. And the second was, but everybody's so tired. But here is what I heard. 2020 is a year of great fulfillment. 2020 is the year where the things that we have been believing for start to happen. And I come in here today, and then all of a sudden, I don't know of who it was, one of us that has already talked about the fact of in this next year of seeing people beginning to be prayed for in the middle of the service, to see miracles happen in the middle of the service. But it's not just that. How many of you have a prophetic word that you have been given that you are waiting to see happen? Okay, right there. So this is what I'm saying. If we're not careful, okay, in all of those things, when we're talking about prophetic words, we can just sort of listen. We can put them up on the shelf and we can say, well, you know, God, you know where I am. Whenever you want to do, it's right there. If you want to do this, I'm so happy for you to do this. But 2020 is not about God looking up in the shelf to see which ones he's going to do. 2020 is about us getting rid of the shelf and about bringing it into our hands, saying, God, I'm believing because you said. Not because I see, but because you said. I believe not because of what I'm seeing all around me, but I'm believing because of what you said in this. This prophetic word right now, I am believing for this now in this time and in this season. I am believing for that grandchild that you told me was going to come to know you, to come to know you now in this year. I'm stepping in for the husband. I'm stepping in right now, Lord, and I'm asking you in the midst of this. And you say, yeah, but God has this. And what about if you, how can you tell? And I believe that the God that I serve loves it when I stand and declare in his presence what he's already said to me. He loves it. It's not like I'm reminding him as he's forgotten. I'm reminding myself in the midst of these things. And it's that sense of this year is grabbing a hold of this. But in order to receive all that the Father has for you in this season, you will need to stop looking at where you are and focus on where you're going. That will be essential in this next season. I'll say it again. In order to receive all that the Father has for you in this next season, we will need to stop looking at where we are and focus on where we're going. What God has said to you. To start to dare, to start to believe again. You know, I'm going to try to get back to these notes, I promise, within this period of time. But don't get nervous on this side right now, okay, in there. There is such a new day for you, my friend. All I see is I was standing up there and I'm just like, Lord, can I just finish preaching first? I heard the word, he's echoing over you, faithful. Faithful, faithful, faithful. And I see him grabbing all of this faithfulness and pouring it and pouring it and pouring it into this. It's like a heated vessel, okay? And it's all beginning to melt together. And what you thought things were going to be like, even when you moved here, what you thought you were going to be able to get involved with, you thought you were going to be able to do, and yet those things haven't, I mean, how blessed are you, okay, with a little brand new baby and all of this and a brand new marriage and all those things are wonderful. But I'm talking about the fact of, for you personally, of what God has spoken to you over the years. And I believe 2020 is a time where you're going to begin to see change happen. You're going to see position change. You're going to see some shift begin to happen. And this is going to make it available to you to allow the dreams of your heart, because you have been going, I'm faithful. I'm doing what I got to do. And you're not even complaining about it. You're not grumbling about it. You're even happy within it, okay, within there. But I'm telling you, he sees this faithfulness. And in 2020, he's about to shift some things. And we're going to see a whole brand new you. And it isn't new as far as it's never been there, but we're going to see a revealing of the man of God that you are. And even, I don't mean call as into full-time ministry, but I mean call as in the purpose and the way that you were, the thing that you were born to do, right? The influencer that you are, the one that you were born to do. You know, that sense that I tell you, I wrote it down before I came, and I'm looking for the person that this is for, and it's for you, is that this new season, this brand new season, you're going to see the things that you were born to do, the things that you had a dream to do, the things that even just leadership in those areas and whatnot are going to begin to come about in your life. Amen? Amen. 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 See, this is something, though, that if we just sit back. Now, here's what he could do. He could go, well, that was great, God. That's good. Shelf number three, and put that up there. I think it's time to tear down the shelves. I got some stuff on the shelves, okay, in there because it's been so long. But I think it's time to tear down the shelves and begin to expect and believe. Now, how do we walk into all that God has? Here's the things that for me, if you believe with me, if you truly believe with me that 2020 is a year of great fulfillment, then this is what I say in this, that how you prepare will be the measure of your expectation. What you prepare, in other words, how you prepare, what you're going to do, because this could just be a really, how many sermons have we heard? Come on now, in your lifetime, how many sermons have we heard? And this could just be another one of those really, you know, good, you know, sermon and whatnot. But this is something, this is an opportunity right now to see change, to see, and because there is this battle. Come on, Pastor Gary referred to it. There is this battle right now in the midst of all of these things. And we are in a season of God releasing upon us. But if this is the way, listen, have you ever tried to catch something with your face? Come on now. Have you tried to catch a baseball with your face? Pastor Jacob, you're going to help me demonstrate that. No, just kidding. See, he got me so much in that show that I just had to kind of, you know, I know it's just. Okay, in there. But you mean you don't go out playing ball with your kid and say, I'll have the glove, you just use your face. Okay, in there. You just don't do that. You use your hands to catch the ball. And have you ever seen it where that you forget, like that person looks the other way or they're checking their phone or they're doing something and you throw the ball and you're waiting for them to look, and they don't look. And the ball comes anyway. Right over and greets them with an unholy kiss, okay, in that moment. But see, I believe that what God has for us is coming. I'm going to be available. Everything within me says, I am not going to be focused on all of those bits. Come on now. I'm going to focus on what he's created from those bits. I'm going to focus on becoming that because is there a seat available beside you, around you? It's not about attendance. It's not about we have a full church. It's not about running two services. It's about lives being impacted. It's about somebody encountering God. It's about the fact of, and yes, you can do it on home and you can do it in the streets and you can do it in your job and all of those things. That's what I've been trying to tell you for the longest time now, that it's not just about, hey, come to my church. It's about, I am the church and everywhere I go, I have church. We understand this. But there's something about saying to that person around you going, hey, want to come to my church? And they're like, dude, I haven't been to church in you don't want me at your church. I don't have, what's the answer to this? I don't have the right clothes. You don't know what I've done. And then you should turn and say, man, you should see the way people dress in our church. It's just, there's everything. It's awesome. Okay. That does not matter. And you wouldn't believe what he's forgiven me for. I am not a perfect one. I'm a forgiven one. Right? And that is that message. But I am believing that we are going to see these chairs filled. But you know what? God can do anything, right? He can do anything. He can decide that he's going to show up with angels knocking on people's doors and saying, Antioch Christian Ministries, 455 County Road, you got to go there tomorrow. Okay. He could do that. But you know what he'd rather do? He'd rather work through you. Because he's a God that, if you look and if you read about him, you read through scripture, he could have done whatever he wanted to do. But he's constantly using people that he knows are going to fail. Like, if it was me, okay, sometimes you're just like, okay, so which ones are not going to be messy? Okay, I want the non-messy ones, so there's not so much to clean up. You know, that's the way sometimes we think, but God doesn't do that. He's like, oh, I'll take that fisherman and that one there and that tax collector, which nobody liked tax collectors. I'll take that one and that one and that one. And these are the ones that I'm going to change the world with. Come on now. And so for you, it's the fact that you are. Now, I was about to say something and I pulled it back, but maybe I'll say it anyways. Possibly you're the tax collector. Okay, in there. But you know what? You could change the world. You can change your community. You can change. And sometimes it's just by saying this. Would you like to come to church with me? You know, our church, you know, and you just talk to them. And you give them an opportunity. And you might sit there and say, well, that's pretty easy. Well, you know what? When was the last time we did it? Right? When was the last time we did it? You know, I'd really love to do something where we had these invitation cards type of thing in there that the person would know how to get here and be able to do that and just to have something where we could pass out to somebody. And it's that sense of going, I'm expecting this house to be full on Sundays. Can you imagine how we change? We'd be like, it is 9:01, honey. We have got to get to church. Okay, in there. So I know it doesn't start till 10 o'clock, but I want to be in there. I want to be up. You wouldn't believe there was like 12 people got saved last night. Somebody got delivered. It was awesome. You know, like, I mean, it's just incredible. Come on now. That is where my heart is. My heart isn't about just attending a service once a month or attending church every so often. It's not about that. This is about the fact of this is my family. Look around, look around, look around. This is your family. Come on, look, don't look at me. This is your family. And some of you, this is your new family, okay? And some, it's like, well, this is my old family. I've known them forever, okay, in there. But this is your family. We want to be together. I don't just go to church because I have to. Now hear me, and I can prove it to you. Because you might say, well, you're the pastor. You have to show up. You got no choice, okay, in there. Do you know that I drove a truck for a very long time? Okay, in there. And I was ministering at different times. I've been different seasons in my life where I've been on not in ministry. And I couldn't wait to get to the house of God. And you know what? Before you know it, I didn't understand it first. I didn't understand why are people only coming like, you know, maybe once. And I get it if you got a job. I get it. So don't get all, you know, don't let guilt and shame and all that garbage get on you in this. Okay? Because sometimes that happens, right? Come on now, be honest. This happens. Sometimes we got to work. There's things that happens within there. But you know what? It's time to have that ignited passion back inside of us that I can't wait to get to the house of God. Do you know, I struggled with this, in this because I do not want to give you any guilt, okay? So if guilt comes on you, it ain't from me, okay, in this. Listen to me. Do you know what I used to think? When we came down, and I used to come down to visit this church first. And when we first started coming down here, in there, and I would show up on Sunday, we were here a long time. It's funny when I say someone who has an hour-long service and comes to our service and thinks it's long. Back in those days, it was longer in there. But you know what everybody's heart was? This is the only place I'm going to today. Now, that doesn't mean they didn't go somewhere else. But they were so excited to be here that their hearts and minds were like, I can't wait to see what God's going to do today. And there was this anticipation that I realized, how long did I say? I have been knowing the Lord and in church since I was 5 years old. But this passion that was here in those days in there, this, and it's not like, please, I'm not telling us we don't have it because I see it in some of you now in there. But there's this sense of fire and expectancy. Right? Because when you come, see, this is not in my notes. So, the worship team is not responsible for how I'm going to worship. The worship team, Pastor Jake can dance. Have you ever seen him with that guitar? I'd be like, I'm sorry, brother, there is a gift there, there's a talent there, and he always looks at me waiting for me to dance, and I'm like, I am dancing. I'm like, if I dance too much, you know, I just get my guitar and dancing and going. But you know what I don't want the worship team to feel like? We got to stir this up and get this people. We got to stir this in there. I don't want that on them. I want them to walk in here and going, look out, Lord, here we come. We have come to worship you. And because they are off in worship, but I want them to be able to look out at us, okay, look out at me and go, oh, they're already ready. Okay, so we are going to now just go like lightning. We're going after it in this. Do you know what I'm talking about? Right? This expectancy in your heart that you come in and you're ready to worship. And understand that when we encourage you to come to the front room, when we encourage you to dance, it's not like we're saying if you don't do those things, you're not worshiping. That's not what we're saying in that. But I tell you, sometimes you got to stretch. Come on now. Sometimes you got to do something. If you want to see change happen, you got to do something you've never done before. You've got to do something you've never done before. But I know that, I can't really see, is that 5'2", 7'2", somewhere in there? But here's the thing for me. I know that the Lord has been challenging me. Rod, you will believe this word, that it's a year of great fulfillment by to the level that you are preparing for what I'm bringing. So how do I prepare? I prepare by this. I prepare by stopping, first of all. And it's something that for me, it's funny how the Lord, he just gives me little bits and phrases. And one of the phrases that he gave me for this sermon was stop, drop, and roll. Okay, and I'm like, yeah, but Lord, that's what you do to put out the fire. He goes, have you not read the New Testament? Everything kind of was a little bit different in there. You know, the poor say they're strong, right? And all of these things. So I'm like, okay, good enough. Let's go with this. But there's this sense for me is when I say drop, though, I'm talking about dropping to my knees. And I don't mean the fact of, and there's what I want us to go on in this journey in this next year. I want you to figure out how many ways you can, which you can pray. Because I tell you, there is an enormous of ways to pray. There is intercession like we do on Tuesday nights here to come. And some of you might be going like, I don't know what I'm doing. We promise we don't make people pray. But all of a sudden you get in there and something comes to you. Just jump out and pray with us in there. But that's just one way of praying. Sometimes it's dropping to our knees. Sometimes it's making that scheduled moment. But the prayer that I'm talking about is every second of everyday communication with God. I'm talking about the fact that I realized just recently, because I had told a story, and forgive me for telling the same story again, but I told a story and I went, wow, Lord, I think I lost some of that. I need to drop. I need to have something where you're going to, Lord, I want that kind of closeness again. But this story, as I'm talking about, is when I went to, Lord told me to go to the mall and take my Bible. And I don't really like doing that stuff. Now, I take my Bible, I go into Tim Hortons, I read it there. I'm just by myself, do whatever, it doesn't bother me. But at this age, when this happened to me, he told me to take my Bible, he told me to go to the mall, he told me, literally, it was like whispering in my ear, turn right now, go left now, go right now, go left there. And you know the story that when I ended up in an area where nobody was. The whole mall was under construction in that area, and there was nobody there. And he's telling me, sit down on this bench. And I'm talking about so specific. Sit down with on that bench. Put your foot up like this. Put your Bible out in front of you like that. I'm like, oh, Lord, okay. Yes, Lord, I am willing. And I went and I did those things, and I sat there. And nobody came by because there was no shoppers. And like literally, I can remember like a janitor coming by and different things, and they're looking at you just going, okay, whatever, you know, on they go. And I sat there and I was about to get up and go and about to leave. And I hear Holy Spirit saying, just wait, just wait, just wait. They need this. Just wait, just wait, just wait. And I sat there with my leg up, with the Bible on my lap. And a lady came around the corner in an area that you would normally not go into as far as to do shopping. And she walks up, she sits down beside me, and she says, are you the man that's going to tell me what God says about this? And I'm like, apparently. And she starts sharing with me this story in this part, and I start, and I'm like, Lord, you got me here, so I'm going to believe you're going to have something now. And I remember just turning to her and sharing, and God was gracious, and there was happened to be, like, it was weird because it was a whole cleaning crew kind of came in over to the side and whatnot, but I just sat there with her, and she shared, and I was able to share with her. She knew the Lord, but she was desperate for a word from God. And God told her that there would be a man at, and just follow my direction, and he's going to have a Bible sitting out with his leg up like this. And I'm like, can you imagine? All I got to do is take my leg down because I'm tired. I can just say, well, Lord, you know, I mean, I'm just going to just put my Bible down to the side. But if she comes in and goes, well, there's a man sitting there, but he doesn't have his leg like that, and he doesn't have his Bible in front of him, so he can't be that person. You see, this is the intimate prayer that I'm talking about. That was prayer. Right? That was connection. It's just talking to him. And you say, well, that was you because you're prophetic. No, come on, don't go there. all of us hear God. The truth is we hear him more than we think, and we're afraid to believe it's him. And if we just trust him and jump out and see things begin, things will begin to change. And I believe that in that sense of when I say stop, I'm talking about the fact of truly, for me right now, I've recognized that 2020, I've got to stop some things in order to start some new things. Do you know what I'm talking about? I've just got to sit down and go, Lord, this isn't wrong. It's not bad. It's not even sin, okay, in there. It's just in order for me to do more of this, I need to do less of this. And you see, I then go like, and then if you're like me at all, you go, so how in the world do I do this, Lord? Because I just don't know how to do all of this like this. And he begins to remind me of who he is. See, there's this, and I'm going to just close with this. If we could put up that first slide. There are these really important passages in the scriptures that whether you've been walking with the Lord as long as I have, or maybe you're just new in walking with the Lord. But there are passages of scriptures that are so important to have in our daily lives. And that little card that I gave you, I want you to write up on top of that, right on top of that card, I want you to write heaven's commitment to me. Right on the very top of that card, really small, heaven's commitment to me. And I want to show you a little bit of what heaven's commitment is to you. And this is the commitment of the Father. And we know we go to Exodus chapter 6 and you'll see it. But you see, when you read the scripture, when you read the Bible, you've got to put yourself there. Don't put yourself looking at it to say, well, that was just for Abraham, or that was just for Moses, or that was just for Daniel. You got to put yourself in the middle of it, because if God is speaking these things, these kinds of words, and not everything sits in here, I understand that, but if he's speaking these kinds of phrases, he's speaking to them so that he can speak to us right now in 2020. That no matter what we're going through, you begin to believe that the Father is for you. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And you say, well, I don't have any Egyptians. But you're talking about in that moment, in that time, that's talking about your bondages, about being heavy laden, of feeling like, you know what, I just can't do this anymore in this. And he, when I begin to look at this, it's like, I will. He's not saying, you know what? If you're perfectly doing your devotion, Steve, for 24 days in a row, I will show up and I will find it for me. It's not there. He just simply turns around and says, I will bring you out. So if any of you are going through something right now that is insurmountable, that seems so large, so huge, grab a hold of this. This might be one. You might not write all of these down, but you might grab a hold of that one and go, that one is for me in this situation. That I am believing that Lord, you will bring me out of this situation, this impossibility. The second one says, I will take you to be for a people. And that means, look, how many of you know that we don't really belong in the sense that we don't have a right to say in that way that you know what? I belong in the presence of God. The only reason we're allowed in the presence of God is because of what Jesus has done for us, and that we now have the right to walk in, but only because of what Jesus has done for us. But he takes us and he makes us one. I will be your God. I will bring you into a land that I swore to you. I have wrote that one down for me in the midst of this. And I'm attaching it to a few prophetic words that I'm waiting on. And I'm saying, Lord, that is a word for me, that I will bring you into the land that I swore you to. Not talking about land specifically. I'm talking about something that he promised. Right? And do you know what? It's so hard when it's been a long time. Anybody with me? Come on now. If it's been a long, long, long time, and I'm wrapping this up, I'm bringing this to a close. But if it's been a long time, it's so hard. Does anybody know what I mean when I say you can sometimes feel numb? And even when you hear something like this, it just kind of goes poof. It's trying to get to your heart. And bounces off. For me, there are a few things I need to drop, not only to my knees, but I need to drop the expectation, that my past is going to be just like my future. That the way it was last year is the way it's going to be this year. I have to stop focusing on the old and begin to dream for the new. Come on now, are you with me in this? And it's not, I'm not telling you like, it's A, B, C, D, it's really easy, just do it. If it was that way, there'd be 14 books about it. It's not like that. It is persistence. It is moving forward. Can we go on to the next slide, please? I have to run through these. These are the seven I wills of Jesus. I will make you fishers of men. How many are ready to make an impact? Come on now. That is a word. If anybody says to you, well, you're the evangelist, I'm not really, you know, no. He promised he will make us fishers of men. I will give you rest. Oh boy. I don't have time to go on to that. Well, I will keep you. I will love you. I will do what you ask in my name. In other words, the things that are aligned with his will and the things that are aligned with his heart, that I will come again and see you again. Lord, we're all believing in faith for that one day. But I will send the Holy Spirit to you. And that is something, see, here for me. And please do not, I will close with, we got one more. Remind me to come back to ESCO, okay? Someone can remind me to come back to ESCO. This last one, the seven I am statements of Jesus. I am the bread of life. And why you say, well, why do I need to know that? Because who lives in me? Who lives in me? Who lives in me? If Jesus lives in me, I'm not telling you that I'm Jesus and that I'm God, so don't misunderstand that. But I have all that I need in him. Because if he's the bread of life, everything I need is from him and is in me. And I could just begin to ask and talk and spend time with him. It talks about he is the light of the world. And we know that even he's even told us that we now are the light of the world. But that I am the gate for the sheep. In other words, if there is, home is in him. And that's where I am. I am the good shepherd. In the sense, when I read that, I recognize I have to know that when I fail, do you understand me? When I fail, I come back to a good shepherd. I don't come back to a heavy taskmaster that's got the hammer just ready to drop. I come back to a loving, good shepherd in those moments. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way but Jesus, and I am the true vine. And there, we'll just stop there with this, but I'll close with this. I believe in 2020 that there's going to be a great fulfillment of the things, and so I want us to prepare. I want us to prepare. I want us to begin to say, well, this might be what I need to drop in the sense of that my belief system about this or my fear about this or all of a sudden you get reminded. Have you ever noticed all of a sudden stuff comes out of your mouth? Maybe, okay, you're all looking like I'm strange. Maybe it's only me, okay? But all of a sudden you go, who said that? You know, and it's like, it's because out of the heart flows, right, in these things. And so it's a matter of going back and, Lord, heal my heart so that the goodness of God can flow out of my mouth. Come on now. In this season 2020, I am going to be spending intimate times with him. And I am declaring, and this is not about the fact that you need to change the most. Don't point at your husband. Okay, don't point at your wife. Okay, don't point at your kids. But I'm going to see a different you. By the end of 2020. Point at someone and say, I'm going to see a different you by the end of 2020. I'm going to experience a different you by the time 2020 is. I like the you that's there right now. But do you know, when we begin to see, become more and more and more like him, man, things begin to change. But can I say this, that I'm expecting to see the Holy Spirit fill numerous people in 2020. Are you with me? And even if it's the fact that whatever your theology is in this, but I'm expecting that tongues and the language of tongues, the language of heaven, is going to be so used amongst us, both in our private time, because that's when a lot of times we're doing this. Do you know that, and again, it's something that I got to drop so I can start, right? I'm going to start again. And you're going to say, Pastor, I can't believe you stopped. I'm going to start again purposely speaking tongues when I don't have to. Because this is sometimes, maybe you're not like this, but something wrong goes on, and you're like, oh, and you begin to pray in the spirit. Something wrong happens, okay, or you get a phone call or whatever it would be, and we seem to go to the tongues or the language of the spirit because something's the other way. I am telling you, try it. Just begin. Begin your mornings with this. Begin your mornings with Holy Spirit. I would even challenge you as much to start reading as much material as you possibly can about Holy Spirit, to learn and learn and learn. And if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit or you do not speak in tongues in there, please do not stress about this. This is the last thing that he wants to do. But I tell you, be excited. Be excited. Be in expectation. Don't listen to me. Hear me. Do not start going, okay, like if sometimes what I have, and I say ESCO, okay, and I'll close with this, okay, in there. Man, the time went fast. ESCO, and you've probably heard this story too. Put up your hand if you heard the story about ESCO, just to show me. Okay. ESCO was a guy in our church, and he was determined to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues. And he was determined. And his theology was the fact that for him, he just wanted to speak in tongues, And I kept saying him, listen, love Jesus. Don't focus there. Yes, ask. Yes, go. Yes, all of those things. But do not get wrapped up in this too much in that way, because then you start feeling less than and you start comparing and you do it. Let's not go down any of those roads, ESCO. Let's not go down there. But let's believe for the power of the Holy Spirit to come on you. He would come up every Sunday because we'd have prayer. You know, we have prayer teams up here. We come up every Sunday. I could have an altar call for who would like to learn how to do French fries. And he would come up and go, I need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I need to speak in tongues. And every single time, and we would pray and nothing would happen. And finally, I said this to ESCO. I said, ESCO, I said, I'm not praying for you today. Go home. Kind of had a little bit of Pastor Claude there, I think, in that moment before I even knew him. I'm like, and I'm expecting, maybe even in the middle of the night, who knows what'll happen, but I'm expecting that when Holy Spirit is going to pour him, because your heart is so right in this. So he went home, and he was a little shocked at me, and he went home, though. The next morning, I had this little tiny little office. I mean, this was a garage that we had for a church. My office was just a little tiny. You could get in, and you could turn around, and you could come back out. Okay, I had enough room for a desk in there. This is how old I am, youth, okay, in this. This was an answering machine. If you don't know it, Google it. They'll tell you what that is, okay, in there. But I came in, and I would click, you know, beep, and it would click. And I mean, it was a fancy one. It didn't have a tape or anything in it at that time. But it was beep, and it would come out, and all of a sudden it goes, beep, shakarararabadadabasatakai, pastor! And he was so excited. And ESCO, I'd be like, ESCO, English. But he was so excited in the sense of what God was doing in the midst of this. But you understand my heart in this. I had told him, don't focus there. Just love Jesus. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm welcome. You're welcome in here. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Holy Spirit, fill me. You're welcome. But wouldn't it be amazing that if we had 50 to 60 people radically filled with the Holy Spirit and spoken other tongues that had never done it before this year? Come on now. Come on, really. This is what I'm talking about. But it's a matter of this. I've got to close, okay, in this. Sorry. I love my church. And I'm not afraid to tell you, I love my church, and can I encourage you to spend even at times at works or in places and say, hey, if you don't have a church, if they got a church, we're not trying to steal sheep, okay? Hear me in this, right? I mean, that's not what we're about in this. If you got a great church, you go to that church. But if they don't have a church or they don't ever go to church, it's like, why don't you come just try our church. And they'd be like, oh, you asked me 17 times now. On the 18th time, I'll go. They walk in the door, and they're like, I don't know what that is. But boy, do I like that. And it's the presence of God that they've never felt before in their lives. Can we see this happen? Are you with me on this? Stand with me here today. I encourage you that those are the commitments of heaven. And if you just... I was supposed to do this before you leave. Okay, just take that white piece of paper and your pen. I'm sorry. I should have done this before. I want you to write on the other end, this is my commitment. This is my commitment. And it's important to do this part because this is the commitments of heaven on the one side. But on the other side, this is my commitment. And that is to say, asking Holy Spirit, what do I need to do? What are you asking of me in this year? What do I need? What is that one prophecy that you're saying, get it off the shelf, take down the shelf, and begin to believe, expect, begin to do things, begin to set up something. If the Lord has promised you a business, then begin to take courses, begin to train, begin to learn. That's what I'm talking about. If the Lord has promised you, has said to you something about, you know, about your grandchild coming back to the Lord, then you make it your mission this year not to shove the gospel down his or her throat, but to love them so much so that they experience the love of God through you more than they even normally would have. And it begins to draw them in those times. So you take a moment, even when you're home today, in the next while, and just say, Lord, what is it you're asking? And then you write, I will. And you begin to finish that sentence. And it might be, I will no longer believe these things. It might be, I will begin. And then it might be something else in there. But it's a matter of walking with the Lord this season.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.